Welcome to the RSGI podcast series for 2025. In it, we will be charting, analysing and revising our six evolutions in the practice of law with the help of some standout legal practitioners and thinkers from around the world. Watch how, in every episode, we revise our concepts and do thought experiments to figure out where the legal industry is going. Hello and welcome to episode 2 of the RSGI podcast. We are covering our evolutions in the practice of law, and this episode we're going to be looking at the evolution of non-lawyers being outside of the team to becoming inclusive team members of knowledge professionals, or the latest iteration of it is where we're looking at separate delivery teams becoming integrated multidisciplinary delivery teams. To illustrate this and make it all come to life, I'm delighted to welcome Kerry Westland, who is a partner at Addleshaw Goddard. Kerry has a very special place in the history of FT Innovative Lawyers. We saw her promotion to partner nearly a decade ago as one of the significant moments in the innovation journey in terms of law firms actually embracing innovation, technology, professionals into the mainstream practice of law. So a really, really big welcome to Kerry, who's been such a perennial feature and has taught us so much. Welcome to the show.
Thanks, Rhys. Thank you for having me.
So, Kerry, tell us a little bit about your journey, your career journey, and a little bit about your team at AG.
Yeah, so I've been at AG for nearly 15 years now. And when people ask me about how it all happened, I was joining AG to become a lawyer, and because that's what you did. But actually, where I found myself was in like quite a new team of paralegals, looking at how you, sort of the level you did work at. And this was just after the recession. So my whole time at AG has been about innovating legal services. And that started off with people, but then obviously became very much focused on technology and process and thinking about how you do things a bit differently. And that was probably the start of bringing different people into the teams to deliver things for our clients. And now I run the innovation group at AG, which is 80 people. And that's a centralized team and split into obviously various units and service lines. But our aim is to enable the wider firm strategy, which includes innovation as one of its pillars. And for us, making sure that that's across the whole firm. So working with our practice groups, our clients, our business services team, to make sure that we're always thinking about innovation when we deliver work to our clients. And that can include a variety of things. So we've launched tools that our lawyers use, either ones we've bought or ones we've built ourselves. Things like launching our graduate scheme, our innovation graduate scheme, to try and think about sort of different ways into the profession and thinking about that as a career, publishing thought leadership like our RAG report and our benchmarking on generative AI, as well as delivering client projects and matters and thinking about things differently. So that's sort of a very quick, in a nutshell, journey to where we are now.
Fantastic. So tell me a little bit, you've got 80 people working for the team, and what sort of people are they? I mean, they're obviously all innovative, but what backgrounds do they have?
Yeah, so they're a real mix. So we have lawyers, qualified lawyers, and some actually qualified, a bit like me, doing innovation rather than normal practice. We have the graduates that we've had, so we're on our fourth graduate scheme now, and we've definitely seen a change from the first lot that applied, which were mainly law graduates and thinking about sort of going into the legal profession, through to data science, AI, business backgrounds as well, and then a whole mix in between that. Some with the more technical, like technology and coding and sort of research piece, through to client delivery and working with clients. So a whole range of skills within the team.
As I said at the beginning, you represented for us this moment within the kind of innovation history of the legal sector of, hate the term, but of sort of non-lawyers becoming seen as important fee earners in their own right, more than enablers, but kind of as partners. And obviously, you were at the tip of that, really. You were probably the first in the UK market to be promoted to a partner. And then over the last 10 years, we've gradually watched law firms follow the same path. But obviously, there are different ways to structure innovation teams, and firms have different approaches to it. But I was wondering whether you could see yourselves eventually becoming so integrated into the practice of law, that actually in a way your innovation team becomes, you know, very creatively and positively redundant.
I mean, it's always an interesting question, isn't it? It's like, is innovation ever done? So that you don't need an innovation team. But I think, and maybe I would say this given I run a centralized innovation team, I think there are still things that are very much about firm and the firm-wide strategy. So I see us as enabling that strategy, being a catalyst for ideas and solutions. But actually what we're seeing is a bit more in depth in the actual practice groups as well. So we've just hired a new partner into our finance and projects team who is going to be taking sort of that hat for finance and projects and our banking clients and working out what innovation means much more deeply to those types of clients. So I can see, I think we described it once, didn't we, as a hub and spoke type piece. So you've got like the central piece to, looking at the strategies and the enterprise-wide tools that we might need to bring in, the cross-pollination across the different practice groups. So if we're doing something in banking that's really relevant to real estate, actually we're sharing those ideas on a central basis. So I still think you'll have that central piece, but with maybe more in-depth focus within the practice groups. That's what I would hope anyway.
It's interesting because some firms have gone down the route of having product owners, which be somebody like somebody from your team sitting alongside the practicing lawyer and then sort of working together. Is that sort of the way that Adelshaw Goddard do it as well? Do you see that sort of marriage continuing?
Yeah, we have a bit of a mix in there. So we have some people who are more aligned to a specific practice group because that's been the history that they've done. But we very much look at it on a more holistic basis. And or if you need something, there'll be someone in the team that can fix that rather than being specifically aligned. Although we are bringing in some roles, hopefully at the start of the new year, that will be really specific to a certain practice because we're seeing that need now. In some ways, innovation has done and bringing technology has done some of the easy bits and the low-hanging fruit over the last sort of decade or so. We're now in those really knotty problems and some of the stuff that we're testing and that we're seeing, you need that domain expertise to really understand how to apply it to law. So if we can bring that link in and that deeper link, I think that's going to be really helpful. But we will still have that, like I said, that centralized piece, because I think that's really important for understanding the problems as a whole rather than really specifically about practice groups and practice lines.
I suppose you have quite a specific skill set in your team as well that's not necessarily replicable in the practicing lawyers. That coming to that idea of, you know, should lawyers be coders or not, or should you just have your coder beside you?
Yeah, absolutely. Being able to translate to that coder, I think, is really important. And some lawyers are really, really good at that and some wouldn't know where to start. But yeah, I think there's some really key skills, like when we look at project management or when we look at change management as well, they're almost disciplines that you learn and that you learn by doing and you learn by qualifications and things. I think that's really important to have those skills to be able to see what we're going to do over the next decade, maybe.
Yeah. So the other way I characterize this innovation is looking at it as the marriage of content and form, the marriage of content and form being great art.
Yeah.
And in legal terms, we'd see that as the convergence of the business and the practice of law. And in the FT reports, for example, we see these lines blurring as what is innovation in the business of law vis-a-vis the innovation of practice of law, because that's, you know, you're using data and technology and delivery is just as important as content. Do you see this convergence happening? And if you do, what does it mean?
Yeah, absolutely. And I think we're definitely seeing it almost driven from the client side in some ways as well, because actually the advice that they're wanting, there is so much going on in the in-house team and what the GCs need. It's like, I need board level advice. Like, that's what I need. Historically, like as lawyers, we're like, these are all your options. And this is the advice that we're doing. We're at Actually, now it's, I want to be able to take what my law firm has given me and present that to my board. And how can we get that advice there? And that needs to be more data driven, even things like being more visual rather than just written and things like that. So it's sort of shifting that role of understanding. And we've always had to understand our client's business, but it's even more so now. It's like, well, what is the end point of what my client is after and how can I provide that as a law firm? So those are some of the things that we're definitely seeing that comes to our advice piece. And then obviously the biggest thing there is on delivery and efficiency as well. There are so many things that need to be done by our clients, and they're seeing more regulation and more pressure on their fees and more pressure on timescales and things. It's like really thinking about how do you deliver that differently. So we're working with one client to deliver all of their BAU property work, and how do you be instructed on that? How do you put that in a process? What data are you bringing through? How are we presenting that back to the board on how many savings there are, on how much savings there is on their rent and on the fees that we're doing and things like that? And I think that's more than, I don't know, completing the lease for that, yeah, that type of work. It's everything that goes around that and the processes around it. And I think those are the types of things that we're seeing come through and be asked for by our clients.
So it's interesting, it's what constitutes legal advice is expanding.
Yes.
And the processes that you go through actually generate insights in and of themselves.
Yeah.
You can then sell to clients.
Yeah, and we're seeing things like continuous improvement programs become quite important in that. So yeah, if you are doing that type of work for them, for your clients, then it's, well, how are we going to improve that, and what is the impact on that? And can we, so we have a team that look at that type of thing. So how are we going to improve this as we work through the years of our contract with them? And clients are really interested in that. Like when we've done pitches and you talk about the continuous improvement team, you can see clients go, oh, what's that? And what does that look like? And what does that mean for us? Which, like I said, that's not legal advice per se, but it is all about how we deliver that legal service to our clients.
Yeah, it's the adjacencies that you,
yes,
move into. And I guess those are different practice area by practice area, effectively.
Yes. Yeah.
And your team covers all of that, does it?
Yeah, yeah, all practice areas. I always find it quite interesting. You almost need to be able to talk and do what we do. You need at least a level of understanding across almost all of our practice groups to be able to, yeah, have those conversations.
Yeah. Knowledge sits under you as well, though, doesn't it?
Yes.
And this is what I'm really interested in. We talked a lot about data and knowledge. And obviously with AI, we're at a moment where law firms can actually surface their knowledge, can collect their data in different ways and surface it. How do you see that panning out? Institutionalizing knowledge, what does that mean for the practice of law?
There's so much you could do here as well, I think. So there is our own internal knowledge. So where are our best precedents? Where are some of the fallback provisions that we've used in other matters? Are we able to surface where we've done work for either that client before or say against another law firm before, and we know what's going to be coming? And I think sometimes collating that knowledge has been quite manual and difficult. So it was never really done because you needed someone to do it. But I think AI is making that much more easier and much more accessible. I think the other piece for me is our knowledge is really important and what we have about our client is really important, but we still need access to external knowledge as well. So legislation, case law, practice notes and various things. So I think actually what is needed and what we're seeing from the use of the tools that we have is people want that knowledge at their fingertip. You want to ask a question in that tool and that brings you back your internal knowledge and your external knowledge. So I don't know if listeners have come across a model context protocol at the moment. That is enabling integration in a way that was never possible before. So we're able to surface our knowledge, our external knowledge, free to use website knowledge and various things in one place in a way that actually we wouldn't have been able to picture. And I think that's quite interesting about how the ecosystem's going to develop over the year by what this allows, because I think some of the companies and the content providers and suppliers that we work with are trying to think about what their role is in the ecosystem. So before it was, which platform are you going to use? Where are you going to do the work, or where are you going to enter a system? And obviously lots of our suppliers are thinking about their front end to all of this, when actually it's the data we're interested in. I'm interested in the content that's there, and I want to be able to surface that along with other content.
That's really interesting. And so you know, can you see law firms eventually, I mean, one of our points in the evolution for the first iteration of it in 2021 was from non-lawyers being outside the team to inclusive teams of knowledge professionals. You don't necessarily delineate, this is the lawyer, this is the innovation expert, this is the product owner or the data technologist. Everybody is a legal knowledge professional together. And as knowledge becomes more important, where do you see that this evolution going to? What should we be calling it going forward?
Wow, that's quite a hard question. I think it has to move away from it even being talked about. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
Like, it's like some of the stuff that we do is innovation, but we almost shouldn't really be talking about it. It shouldn't be this external thing. It's like this continuous, almost continuous improvement, isn't it, of delivery and what we're going to do. And I think almost like you wouldn't be talking about the distinctions is what you're talking about there. So I think we should get to a point where you're in a pitch with a client and we're not really saying this is the technologist, this is the AI person, this is the knowledge person. It's like we're the AG team that's going to deliver this thing for you.
Yes.
Yeah.
No, absolutely. We'll have to work out what that means. You've got, you sit in this wonderful position, you're very experimental, you've got a great team. What advice would you give to other law firms trying to cut through the noise around AI?
You have to keep your ear open to everything that's going on. And I've definitely learned, especially over the last 2.5 years, maybe nearly three now, isn't it, since generative AI came out, you have to be able to stick to your strategy, but be flexible within that and just be aware things are changing so quickly. And that's really hard, but I spend a lot of my time reading what's going on. There's various blogs out there to give you an idea of what's happening. So you have to keep an eye on it, but don't just like pilot everything, because you'll never win. You have to be quite selective and being really clear about what it is you're trying to achieve. It has to work for your business. It has to be valuable for your own business and your clients and things.
There was one thing you've mentioned a few times about actually clients not wanting you to necessarily be as experimental, or being blockers in terms of being as experimental as you want to be.
Yeah.
Can you tell us a bit more about that?
I think, and when you talk to lots of people in the market, hopefully we're all experiencing the same thing. We obviously, our clients are asking us to be innovative, and we're seeing that in RFPs and for our panels and our pitches, and we hear them talk at conferences, and your innovative GC group talk to you about this. But then when it comes to it, the terms and conditions stop us. So we'll have to get consent, but the consent process can be quite long at our clients and things. So I think there is so much that could happen that isn't happening in law firms. And I think, and that's not through lack of law firms wanting to do it. There is so much we could do that we see external companies do, and we think that would be great, but then we can't because... And we totally understand it, that like data is so key and data protection is so key and important. But I think we need to probably get to an understanding point where everyone understands why we might use AI and how we might use it and what that means.
Kerry, I think we're in violent agreement that law firms of the future are going to be multidisciplinary, integrated, lawyers, non-lawyers all together. But dare I say it, how are law firms, not necessarily known for being the most exciting workplaces in the world, going to attract interesting innovators, technologists, AI specialists, all of the people that they need to?
Yeah, I think it's a real challenge, especially given some of the other companies that they can go and work for. It's been quite interesting over the last couple of years to be in an industry that was seen to be slow to change, come at something so quickly. And when we were talking to some of the vendors about it, they were like, law's just come out now. Like, before they were the laggards and they were the last ones to adopt, and now they're knocking down our door. And like when we were talking to Microsoft and things. So I think maybe the fact that we are a little bit at the edge of what's possible with legal maybe might be exciting to some people. So we can maybe tell that story. The interdisciplinary bit and being seen as part of the delivery team is going to be really important, that you're not like in a side part of the business, you're really key. And I also think thinking about salaries and recognition is going to be quite important. Like, we would historically say business services teams and teams that aren't frontline fee earning aren't paid as well as our lawyers, then that's what happens. So maybe thinking about what those salaries look like is going to be quite important as well. And then one of the things we definitely found, which is why we did the graduate scheme, is actually some of the skills that we need, that mix of skills almost isn't there sometimes in the market, especially if it was quite new. So I think there may be something in growing your own through apprentice schemes, graduate schemes. And maybe when you do that, you build a loyal workforce that you can retain who are sort of on your journey to deliver your strategy as well. So I wonder if those different entry points are going to be quite key as well.
And I think if law firms get sharper about the role that they play in business, in society, which is an important role going forward, then perhaps young, bright people are going to want to be part of that.
Yeah, right? I would hope so.
Yeah, great. I mean, you know, you're a creative innovator. We always end off episodes talking about what inspires you. But on books, what have you read recently that might, you know, that's affected you or moved you either professionally or personally?
Yeah, so, and this sounds like they're on a theme. It's probably two that I remember reading and then really recommending them to others. Lean In by Sheryl Sandberg and Don't Fix the Women, Fix the System. And obviously that goes down quite a feminist route, but I think they were quite important.
And last question, where do you get your inspiration from?
Lots of places, I think. Like sometimes it's reading what's happening in other industries and things like that. It can be music. It can be listening to my kids. So they're teenagers. They speak a different language to me at the moment. And they're thinking about their careers at the moment and being able to have to explain my job to my children in like a really clear way makes me think about, well, how should I do that at work and things like that. So sometimes talking to them gives me that creativity.
That's fantastic. And you've produced some great thought leaderships. I should tell all of our listeners that look out for Kerry's thought leaderships and her AI maps, and you're a great source for the industry. And thank you very much for all that you do.
People have said this before, I do stand on the shoulder of giants because a lot of that's from my team as well as me. But yeah, that's really nice to know.
Great. Thank you.
Brilliant. Thank you.